welcome to another episode of the Game of Horizon After Hours podcast. This is episode 26. This is Alex, again joined by Sean and Ted. How's it going, guys?
Well, Sony still won't take my PlayStation card. Other than that, we're okay.
Like, PlayStation
That's
credit
card? That's
3 weeks
now.
My PlayStation Visa card, yes.
That's ironic.
Yeah, I'm a lot cooler about it this week because I didn't need to buy anything this week. No big sales, so...
Okay, so, but you're supposed to be able to use your credit card so you get points to use for their products or something? Is that the whole deal with that credit card?
Yeah, you know how a lot of credit cards give you 1%, 2%, 3% back?
Yeah.
Anything you buy off the PSN with the PlayStation card, 10% back.
Ooh.
Actually 11, but who's counting?
Yeah. That sounds like a good deal. But anyway,
it's actually gotten worse. I can't use any credit card now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to accept it.
Okay, well.
They take PayPal.
Good on you. So, let's just knock this shit out of the way. What have you been playing, Ted?
Believe it or not, for some reason, Metal Gear Solid 1. I don't know. I've been always meaning to revisit that game, hint, hint, but I never got around to it.
Hmm. But why now, of all times?
I literally have no idea.
Wow. Great. That's great conversation, Ted. Good on you. Nothing else, right?
Nothing else sticks to mind that I've been playing.
Okay. Sean, you've been playing Daylight? Or did you want to talk about something else?
Well, I just real quick, since Ted went so short, I'm just going to say I'm playing Spider-Man and Daylight. Spider-Man's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it's not nearly as good as it could be. and Daylight, I'm going to... Nope the game.
Like, you can't deal with it?
Like, nope. Like, it is fucking scary.
Oh.
Can't do it.
Huh.
It is scary. Like, I'm not that far in it, and I have a problem with it. My major problem with it is it doesn't save very often. You have to basically clear that next area before it saves, and that is both annoying and... I can tell it's by design because you want to stop playing the game. Mm-hmm. But if there was, ever a game that needed suspend and resume, it is this one.
Okay.
Mostly because each section takes about a half hour. And I was playing the other night and I just wanted to stop. It was getting to be too much. Like, I was just hair standing up on my head, like arms, and it was... I'm a huge horror fan, and this is like, especially like supernatural, like ghost story type stuff. And this is just pushing all those buttons. I couldn't tell you for a second what the hell's going on in the story. I just know that I'm some girl walking around a procedurally generated asylum.
Now, I have a question. So, have you played Outlast?
I started Outlast, and then other things came out when Outlast was out. I think that came out around the same time as Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been playing other things. I started Outlast. Outlast, though, as far as I could tell, it seems like the threats are very tangible, like physical threats,
mm-hmm.
Whereas this is supernatural.
Yeah. I mean, I played just kind of like in preparation of our conversation right now. I actually played both within the past several hours, and I think you're right. You know, I've only played like maybe like an hour of Outlast and stuff, and yeah, the enemies are definitely like grotesque and a lot more tangible, like you said. But the time that I have with Daylight wasn't. I guess it wasn't too. It didn't give me a good impression because I guess there's no immediate... It doesn't seem like there's an immediate threat to my life in that game. Maybe I'm really good at just avoiding the ghosts, but, like, there was this one time that the ghost was, like, coming at me, and I literally ran past it. And you'd think, like, I would die immediately, and nope. I'm like, all right, I'm gone.
No, that's by design.
Okay.
It's slow burn. It doesn't... They're not very threatening in the first area.
But they are pretty threatening, and because I think there's like only
I died in a second.
Okay, and that's stuff.
And that's what sucks because I got pretty decent,
mm-hmm.
and I got a pretty decent area. And because I died, I had to start the area all over again. That's why I stopped playing.
Okay.
That's going to be something that's going to be hard for me when I want to review it, because I don't have a lot of time. And when I set aside time to lose that time, because I have to go do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of like this give and take. I know what they're trying to do. They want you to, they kind of want to force you to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure, like, and kind of make your life count.
Yeah.
And I get that and I appreciate that. But when I don't have a lot of time and I have to review your game, that's going to be points off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that it's procedurally generated and stuff, but it's like, I found, not to say that they're in the same league, I really don't think they are, but I found that the use of procedurally generated anything, like, works best in, like, the Left 4 Dead games. Like, this one, it's like, I felt like, okay, this needs... It almost feels really, really sparse and empty. Like, I guess it was kind of reminding me of, like, Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne, which came out today, where it's, like, that's also a randomly generated kind of dungeon, per se, but it's, like, I felt like there was a lot of shit that you can read in this whole game. Like, every single room, almost, it felt like, oh, there's something to read. And I'm, like, I can't afford to read this right now. Like, I want to, like, you know, I know that they're trying to weave, like, this really... interesting tapestry of stuff, but it's like, you know, come on, I want to get back into the game, you know. It's, I don't know, maybe information overload, but I'm kind of anxious to see what you think in the end and stuff, whenever that happens, I guess.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get through it this week.
Okay.
I've just been editing the podcast, and now we have the wrestling podcast that I have to edit, so.
Okay. So yeah, I pretty much said what we've been playing. I did get, the Game of the Year edition of Dishonored, because the first time around I got it for 360, didn't really play too much, so I got the Game of the Year edition for PS3, just got Corvo out of, you know, his jail, and, yeah, so far so good.
That's as far as I ever got in that game.
And then you stopped.
You didn't beat that game either?
Actually, with Dishonored, the funny thing is with that one, I said I really, 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 really don't want this one to end up on the endless backlog.
And it did.
Oh, it did with tremendous fashion. I never made it past level... I never started level 2.
What?
Think of all these games I could play and they would be new to me, and yet I just keep buying stuff.
You know what's funny? Well, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. I've been buying a lot of, like real cheap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't play Dishonored when it came out. I think I played it. When did it come out? 2012?
2012, yes.
I played it in 2013. I didn't play it like, I played it like almost a year later.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fine game.
Yeah. I mean,
I liked it.
Yeah.
Wasn't great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I appreciate the style now that I've kind of like sat through. You know, I let it simmer, I guess, all this time, and I'm kind of looking at it again, and I'm like, okay, this doesn't look half as bad. I don't know how I'm going to feel later on when I'm, like, too used to it, but, you know, we'll see. I got it out of curiosity, and I've been buying, like, a bunch of Bethesda games. Like, I bought, like, the, you know, Legendary Edition of Skyrim again, you know, so, you know, with all the expansions, so, whatever.
You think they're going to release that on PS4, Skyrim? There's always rumors that there's a PS4 Xbox One re-release for that.
I really hope not.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the one game where I'm like, no. No.
No, as in you don't want to just restart it? Like, your file from the beginning again? And...
So, no, you know what it is? Is that, like, I've put in 300 hours plus, and I'm still not done with my one character in Skyrim.
Yeah, you know, the other rumor is that Mass Effect is going to get a next-gen re-release or current-gen re-release.
And that's another thing that I'd say no to, because as much as I love the series, it's like, come on, it's like, ugh. Yet another system where I have to buy all the DLC on.
Well, I think
no,
the
it's
Mass
gonna
Effect
come with the DLC.
If the Mass Effect re-release, if it exists, doesn't come with every piece of DLC, that's complete failure.
No, that's like
all the DLC should come with that on disc.
Yeah, Tomb Raider comes with the DLC. The Last of Us is going to come with the DLC. This is a Game of the Year edition. Trilogy pack. There, it's going to come with everything.
Hopefully.
I mean, it's all theoretical too, but
yeah.
You know I'd be dumb and buy it.
Well, I can see Sean
looking at me through the internet.
I think everyone's got a good strategy this generation of like, hey, we're not used to the new hardware. Let's port some old games so we can get used to the new hardware, which was like the biggest excuse that Naughty Dog had with porting, you know, Last of Us to, you know, PS4. It's like, hey, we want to learn new hardware. This is a perfect way to do it. So,
but Tomb Raider, Crystal Dynamics didn't do the Tomb Raider one.
Oh, that's right. Oof.
Yeah. Well, they actually did a lot of work on that, and some would argue it's superior to the PC version. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but it was like, it was the, each platform had a different port studio.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's right. The Xbox One and PS4 versions were different studios. That's so cray-cray.
The Xbox One was the United Front
Games. You are correct.
Yes.
Yeah, they did the Sleeping Dogs.
Yes.
I forget who did the PS4 version. Hmm. But they were two different studios, and Crystal Dynamics, they probably worked with them, but they didn't do it. They're probably working on Tomb Raider 2, you know, or whatever it's going to be called.
Right. Okay. So, all right, so let's jump right into the news, guys, because last week it was fucking dead. This week, everything is fucking creeping out of the woodwork.
See, with you, like, I wanted you to say the news headlines, because if you left it up to me, I'd be like, wow, look at all these obscure fighting games coming out that you haven't heard of, but I'm flipping out over.
Of course. Well, yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, I'm taking a little bit more of an active role, like, just picking the news this week and stuff. And, you know,
don't let Ted pick the headlines.
I didn't say
that.
Don't do it. I didn't say
don't
that.
Don't do it.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying don't do that. Okay. I wouldn't recommend it.
All right. So, Art, okay, so Call of Duty Advanced Warfare got revealed. So, you know, or as NeoGaffers would call it, the House of Cods?
It's terrible.
It is pretty fucking terrible. So, Sean, we're pretty excited. I'm pretty fucking stoked.
I'm very excited. And I to quote The Godfather 3, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. And every year I'm just like, I mean, Ghosts did not keep my interest very much. The campaign was fine. The multiplayer is fine. I just didn't really like the maps all that much. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I always get excited for the next like announcement of a Call of Duty. You know, mm-hmm. I always want to see what it is.
Yeah.
And last year I remember. I don't know if you guys remember. I was very underwhelmed with what they had shown with Call of Duty. And I felt, but this, man, I was just like, oh my God, this looks so much fun. Like, and the funny thing to me is there's legit people excited because Kevin Spacey is in this game.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to play as him. You probably barely interact with him. He's probably just going to be a bunch of cutscenes. Mm-hmm. But people are legit excited that I've never seen anybody be interested in a game simply because of the actors that were in it.
Yeah. Well,
maybe it's the era we live in. I don't know.
Well, I feel like specifically the Call of Duty series has like a great rogues gallery of great villains over the past several games, you know, like they are iconic to that specific game. Like, I think, you know, like ever since like Call of Duty 4, we've loved to hate the fucking, you know, bad guys in those games. Yes, we kill a bunch of nameless people, but they represent the one ideology in the game that we hate, which is that one villain. And being that Kevin Spacey pretty much plays a villain in House of Cards. He's just basically like using that, you know, taking that role and then, you know, donning another role on top of it. So it's like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. He's now the bad guy. Whose, you know, armies and mercenaries we could just fucking kill. So this is great. But I think not only that, but I mean, the one thing that really kind of interested me is just the way that they showed, you know, like a lot of the action and stuff. And yes, no part of that footage did you ever see, like, soldiers' pores or anything like that, and how painstakingly rendered they were or whatever, but, you know, new tech. It seems, you know, hopefully, like, you know, that really changes up, like, the dynamic in both the gameplay and the single player and the multiplayer, you know, so we'll see.
I definitely think it's going to. I definitely think the exoskeletons are going to play a big part in the multiplayer. Just reading up on it, like, you're going to, after each... This is based on the campaign, but I can see how this would translate into multiplayer. After each mission, you get points, and you could use those points to upgrade your exoskeleton to do certain other abilities and stuff like that. Mm. So that's really cool. And there's hover bikes. One thing I really do appreciate about this, and it's interesting to see what they're going to do, Call of Duty, especially in the last couple of years, has really, really jumped around with perspective. You know, like you're... I mean, the Black Ops series, you go back and forth in time. Mm-hmm. and, you know, Call of Duty and the Modern Warfare games and Ghost, you're always switching, like, you know, there's a space level in Call of Duty Ghosts, like mm-hmm. one that legit takes place on a space station. And that's obviously not the main character. Where this time, Troy Baker is in it, and he's playing the main. He's playing you, mm-hmm. and that's it. Like, there is no other perspective. So there won't. And they said they never switch perspective. So they're not going to be. There's not going to be an AC-130 level. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that goes on in that game is going to be what he can do.
Right.
So that's going to be very interesting, and almost like weird, like weirdly scaled back from what came in before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean. We can only hope that it tells, like, a cohesive story, you know? And I think there's not every single Call of Duty needs to have a change in perspective. And, you know, like, I feel like, you know, that's kind of, like, been the gimmick over the past couple of games. It's like, yeah, we'll change a little bit. And it's kind of like, all right, guys, you know, like, who am I going to be now, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, we'll see. And but I think the introduction of Sledgehammer, you know, as part of the Call of Duty brand.
Trifecta.
Is, you know, what's more interesting that's coming out of it is that it'll allow each developer to have a full 3 years of development on their games, you know, so
yeah.
that'll be great, which means they're, you know, at the very least, if we base it off of the previous gen, that we'll see at least two offerings for each, like, you know, development team, like this generation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which is great.
We got four from everybody last time.
Oh yeah, this is true. Yeah.
Five from Infinity Ward, and four from.
Yeah.
From Treyarch.
Yep. Kind of like.
I think the best thing I can say about Advanced Warfare is that did not seem like a Call of Duty game at all.
Which is
and
good.
That's an amazing compliment.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I mean,
very excited.
A lot of people were like saying like, oh yeah, Call of Duty, it's dying and stuff. But it's like that's the thing that you guys misunderstand. Each of the Call of Duties have been slightly different, but it's still fairly different from each other. You know, like
I think there's also new merit in mentioning. I mean, maybe it's not a big deal, but there's a very noticeable platform that it is not coming out for. And I mean, it's surprising that we won't have a version of Call of Duty for the PlayStation Vita. See, I swerved you.
I knew.
No.
Totally did.
The joke is that, well, the real news is that it's not announced for the Wii U, and it's probably not coming out for the Wii U, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe it's one of those things, like kind of like Spider-Man 2 for the Xbox One, where
well,
they just like...
I also think it's worth mentioning that Sledgehammer is only concentrating on current-gen hardware with PC, and the last-gen ports are being done by another studio, similar to...
Does anyone remember when Call of Duty 2 came out on Xbox 360? There was a game called Call of Duty Big Red 1 on the previous gen before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a completely different game.
Yeah, I worked on
it. You did?
Yep.
I like that game.
It was by Treyarch.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so I feel like by them saying specifically... So if there's anything that tells you that the Wii U is not a next-gen system, they're concentrating on next-gen hardware, and if a port does come, it ain't going to be done by Sledgehammer. It's going to be done on the same level playing field as PS4, PS3, and Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. In which case, if Bluepoint did it, that'd be fucking hilarious.
That'd be really funny.
I mean, you know, it's like, hey, by the way, guys, Titanfall people here. Anyway, so, yeah, we're excited about that. Kind of like along the same lines, Call of Duty Ghosts, best-selling game on current-gen hardware. So, is this for... Sean, you put this here. Is this for everything? Like, all regions and...
This is it. Activision announced today that Call of Duty Ghosts is the number one game, selling game, on current-gen platforms. Like, on Xbox One and PS4.
Wow.
I was surprised at this till I thought, and I thought, if there's going to be a common game that people are going to buy more than any other, it would be Call of Duty. But to be honest, I don't think it won by a massive landslide on next gen or current gen.
Really?
I don't think it's probably a massive. Probably not, relatively speaking. But it hasn't really been winning by a landslide over each other's platforms anyway. So because there's like a 7 million install base and a 3.5, 4 million install base at Xbox One, you know, it's going to, And considering Xbox 360 was the kind of the go-to platform for it, so that if anybody went from Xbox 360 to Xbox One, and there's only 4 million of that, that's still a pretty sizable chunk of the audience.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And the only reason why I put this here is because, as a Call of Duty fan, and yes, you will never hear me say, until Call of Duty absolutely sucks, and I go, this is a bad game, like a poorly made game. Like, I just like kind of throwing it in the face of all the people that say Call of Duty's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's still the king.
Yeah. And considering that Ghost wasn't the most, you know, amazing game in the series and stuff, it still sold pretty well, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's brand recognition, people. Brand recognition.
It's not, you can't keep all the plates up in the air all the time. So who knows? Maybe Infinity Ward will slip back to being like what Call of Duty 3 was for Treyarch, just the B team, you know? Mm-hmm. And then now you'll have Treyarch be in the lead. Sledgehammer will kind of take the Treyarch's place, you know? And it'll just filter out. And if so what? I mean, it's still doing really well. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. All right. So along the same lines, speaking of Infinity Ward, Neversoft is losing its name, and they're going to be merging with Infinity Ward. So
I guess they're never going to make another Tony Hawk game.
No, somebody else is making a Tony Hawk game. It's some European company or something.
I know, but I'm just remembering when Neversoft was famous for the Tony Hawk games, and no matter what they make, I'm always going to think of Neversoft as the people that let me do like the McTwist over the half pipe
mm-hmm.
with like songs I don't really know mm-hmm. on the soundtrack.
Yeah. And Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's really
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Spider-Man was in Tony Hawk. That's what I thought you meant. Because Spider-Man was...
No, they made the Spider-Man games for the...
PlayStation.
For the PlayStation.
Which, by the way, I also worked on. I'm just saying. Like, my history with Activision goes back a long way. I was there with two fucking console launches. The PS2, the PS3, and the Wii. So that was two separate occasions. So two different sets of people. Like, I remember, like, at Spider-Man, there were, like, five testers. And then I came back to... fucking playtest, like, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man. There was like a day shift, a night shift, and a graveyard. I was like, holy fuck, crazy. So anyways, more Activision news. Activision bets about $500 million on Destiny, so that's how much they actually sank into that game. So yeah, they are hoping this will be the next big thing. So thoughts?
There seems to be a lot of confusion that it's all for one game, and it's not. They're committed to this for the 10 years. This is their investment in Destiny for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that's going to be baseline stuff, like internet infrastructure and stuff like that, to kind of, and they're just going to keep it going down that same pipeline and improving it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then marketing and stuff like that. It's not the actual production of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's paying royalties and so on and so forth. But it's not for one game. It's not like they're sitting there making Destiny the highest budgeted game of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're like, here's what we're going to contribute to your vision of a 10-year franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people that think Destiny's going to be one game and they're just going to wow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow it as in, like, expansions. MMO it?
Yeah, just have the one game and then expansions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to do that. And that's not Activision's style. Like, WoW is its own thing. Activision Blizzard, Blizzard kind of does its own thing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that was kind of a thing before Activision and Blizzard merged. Activision, with consoles, they want a $60 game every X amount of years.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how Bungie is going to do it, though, because, like, they're not... They take a little bit longer to make games than the rest of the people, you know? Like, and this is not like, I don't know, like Call of Duty, where there's like an annual, you know, it's not annualized. So it's like...
No, but they'll get three or four games out in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. You think, like, maybe they're going to expand it using DLC, and then, like, you know, of course, they'll... I mean, obviously, they'll carry over progress from previous games.
Well, according to the old contract... between Activision and the company allegedly using Bungie's name, there's supposed to be four games, and then in between each one, there's supposed to be a major DLC piece.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
So one major DLC piece? Like, is it implied that it's only one big one, or like...
One big one per game.
Okay. Interesting.
However, that contract is several years old. Who the heck knows?
Mm-hmm.
They've also said, if you're wondering about how they're going to do the progress goes between games, so if you go to from the PS3 to the PS4, they've said they will do a one-way save transfer from PS3 to PS4 and Xbox 360 to Xbox One. That's confirmed.
I wonder if that's...
Yeah, like, they're going to have to do that.
I wonder if they're going to do that via, like, Bungie.net, because for the beta, they even, like, ask you to, like, sign up for a Bungie.net account and stuff.
I guarantee you they'll use Bungie.net or some other service. It's, you know, it's not that hard to take save data and move it from one system to another. It's, you know, especially with everything relying on cloud saves as much as it is, it's like, it's totally not a big deal. In fact, these games could all be cross-platform multiplayer if, you know, that ever were to be a reality. It would be very easy to do cross-platform multiplayer at this point.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool if it is. I want to see that.
It won't be.
It's never going to happen. You know, the funny thing is, the rumor is Sony is actually okay with this concept, and Microsoft isn't. So there you go.
Well, yeah, Microsoft's always been kind of weird with that. I mean, it's kind of funny to think that, you know, they even allowed Final Fantasy XI to be released on the Xbox 360.
Yeah. You know, other than Final Fantasy XI, did you know I've played every cross-platform console game?
What would those be?
Those would be that one strategy game. Yeah, because there's only five.
Okay.
We got time.
Portal 2 on PS3, that strategy game that no... Universe at War. So I was going to say, that strategy game that no one remembers because it came out before StarCraft 2 and they went on to make a MOBA that died. Universe at War, Lost Planet Colonies, Shadowrun... And Guilty Gear actually was cross-platform, and nobody cared.
Yeah, okay. Well,
That's every game.
I was thinking more like, you know, PlayStation, Xbox kind of cross-platform, but I guess PC and 360, I guess, counts.
And then there's Portal 2, the one game that had Steam on PS3.
And nothing else.
Yeah, they tried.
So, yep.
Right. Well, they haven't put out anything since fucking Portal 2.
No, they put out that Counter-Strike game, remember?
They haven't put out anything since Portal 2.
You know, if it makes you feel better, that game is totally dead on consoles, although they keep updating it on PC, because it's Valve.
Yes.
Well, that's what happened with Team Fortress.
The Team... Man! Remember they're going to try to update the console version? It's never going to happen.
Yeah. All right, so moving along. ZeniMax is seeking compensation over Oculus Rift. So they're alleging that Oculus Rift stole a bunch of technologies from ZeniMax. And, of course, Oculus Rift basically said, no, you guys only just wanted to do something because now we're bought by Facebook. And here's the reason why.
You know, I noticed you didn't mention the name of the major player in this, and that would be John Carmack.
Mm-hmm.
When John Carmack left ZeniMax for Oculus. I don't know what's going on here. I hope it's one of those things that just gets settled behind the scenes, and I don't want to read any about this because I really hate legal stuff between game companies.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you hate it?
It's just stupid. Do you remember the lawsuit between ZeniMax and Mojang?
Mm-hmm.
For Scrolls?
For Scrolls. I mean, what the hell is that?
For the fucking name.
Scrolls.
Yeah, because it has the word Scrolls in it.
Does anybody ever find any Scrolls in the Elder Scrolls? Like, in the Elder Scrolls? Has anyone found the Elder Scrolls and read them?
Well, more importantly, who the
in
fuck
Skyrim,
calls?
They're all over. Yeah, you find Scrolls in Skyrim.
But are they the Elder Scrolls?
Yes.
But more importantly, who the fuck calls Skyrim Scrolls? Or Elder Scrolls, for that matter?
I don't know. I love Bethesda. I'm not a fan of ZeniMax. Like, I just think
their parent
they're
company.
Run by the... Yeah, I just think they're a bunch of idiots. When I read that, I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. The most notable kind of statement that Oculus basically said in defense against ZeniMax was, despite the... You know, this is part of their press release... Despite the fact that the full source code for the Oculus SDK is fully available online, ZeniMax has never identified any quote-unquote stolen code or technology. So it, this is just a claim. It's as if, like, you know, like they didn't check or something like that. So I'm with Ted here. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. It'll be interesting if ZeniMax really drives this out, like, you know, like to some fucking, you know, weird place. But yes, ZeniMax is kind of in the wrong here, as always. So
I just couldn't care less because I'm not going to ever get the Oculus Rift. And yeah, so I don't care what happens.
Okay. So moving along. So we got a bunch of information about Tales from Borderlands the past couple of days and stuff. But there's one very important detail that they just kind of slipped in the PlayStation blog, which is that whatever loot you grabbed in Tales from Borderlands is going to be available across all the entire Borderlands franchise. That's kind of interesting to me, because, like...
Wait. So, I mean, that means you can play it in Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel?
And possibly the sequel.
So, wait. So, basically, even though they've stopped making Borderlands 2 expansions, there's still technically more reasons to come back and play Borderlands 2?
Possibly.
Give them credit. I think it'll probably have to do...
It'll probably have more to do with Borderlands, the pre-sequel...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a great way to get people to want to play the game. You know, you just hook them a little bit. I mean, that's it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Classic strategy.
I mean, another gun that you'll get, you know, that you can only get from the adventure game. I mean, that's a pretty good incentive, I think. Or I don't know. Who knows? Like, what kind of loot you get? Maybe they have like a randomly generated random loot generator as well, like in Tales from Borderlands. Who the hell knows? So.
I wonder how you get this loot, because, okay, so this is, like, going to be a Telltale game.
Yeah.
Is it going to be, like, that
with
time...
Gearbox.
Okay, with Gearbox, but, I mean, I guess maybe, like, you can play it like the Strong Bad Adventure games, and there's hidden things to find, because you do weird things, and then, like, you find the secret items, like, you can find all the pieces of Teen Girl Squad.
I don't know. Based on what the two Telltale games that I'm playing concurrently, I don't... There's nothing like that
mm-hmm.
at all. Like, there's no item management or finding or anything. You pretty much get something, and then you use it, like, literally the next scene.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like... It's not like Willy Beamish or something where you had to put the vacuum cleaner in the fucking fish tank and to make him do something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so... maybe it'll be just unlocks. Like, you achieve certain things you do in the game will unlock this weapon that you can use in Borderlands. It's mm-hmm. going to be a predetermined thing. I don't think it's going to be random... I think, you know, or maybe it'll unlock a key. I don't know. It's got to be random, though, because there's no two weapons alike. I don't know. I have no idea.
Terms of, like, transferring that, though, to a Borderlands game, I'm guessing, like, Gearbox is probably readying up some sort of account system. You know, that's the only thing that I can think of, that they'll keep track of that, you know, to tie in all their games together. Be like, yeah, log into your Gearbox account and...
Well, they have that. It's your Gearbox Shift account.
Well, there you go.
They actually have one. I know you were trying to make a joke, and then I just said no.
It's not really a joke. I didn't know that. Like, so they have that for consoles as well?
Yeah. It's the same Shift account. You just sign up, and
I never signed up for anything when I played Borderlands 2.
I had to sign up on the PC.
Well, it's probably a PC-only thing for now.
Nah, they'll do it.
Yeah, they'll do it. That's the solution. All right. So next up, Disney Infinity 2 got announced. So Marvel characters, yay! And then allegedly, there's going to be Disney characters, yay! And
didn't we talk about this last week?
No, we didn't.
Feels like we did.
We actually skipped it. It wasn't even in the fucking news, I think. But it's coming out in September. We talked about it in the chat, but we never talked about it in the show.
Okay, well, here we go.
So every single character is going to have a skill tree and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure Sean's not really interested in this, but... So, Ted, I don't know.
It is fun to go to GameStop and tell parents that are already pissed off from buying all these action figures that you have more action figures to buy.
Mm-hmm.
I like, they're not happy. Here's my problem with this, and this is like something I've with Scott. I would be super into this, especially with the Marvel and Star Wars characters, if they would release a game. Like, not a, like a mini game. Like, I know it's not a mini game, like the way we think of mini games, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a lot of breadth to the games that they have, that they can be played in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great concept that they should probably try to make adults, like, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would be into that.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem that I have with the previous levels in Disney Infinity is just that all the characters are just had very slight variations in the way that they played. The interesting thing about, like, Infinity 2 that they started talking about was that the worlds are definitely going to be a lot bigger. Now, that doesn't mean shit, because it could be, like, a big world, but not really a whole bunch of stuff in it to do. Kind of like some other open world games. But also the fact that they added some skill tree elements to all the characters, not just the Marvel characters that are going to be in it. And that's totally confirmed. They're also raising the level cap so you can get more skills and whatnot, but that's not really the whole thing. The most important thing, obviously, here is that Marvel is going to be in it, and
Star Wars.
Is Marvel, yes, baby?
Eventually. Well, Star Wars is going to probably be a 2015 product, to be honest. That's going to be part three. So, and that's
of course, that's when the movie's coming out.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Right. Oh, man. This is never
It's Marvel,
good.
Baby!
But I guess the most interesting thing is, like, they're not doing the whole thing with what Skylanders did was they had to... They actually forced you to buy the base with it.
Yeah.
The new base. Because Disney pretty much confirmed that if you had the old characters and stuff and the old base, you can use that base for the new game. But naturally, of course, you won't be able to play in the Marvel game because it's part of the starter pack, so you had to buy the whole thing with a new base anyway. So, we got foiled. Fuck. God damn it. Yeah. So
at least you stopped buying figures when you did, right?
I just recently got the Frozen Toy Box set, so it's not...
So the Frozen Toy Box set, so you get to play as Anna and Elsa, and then what are the stupid things to...
The problem with this is that there is a parity between our version of Disney Infinity and Europe's, okay? Europe actually gets a full playset that features Frozen. And the United States just gets a toy box, meaning it's just the skin for, like, the levels.
Wait, there's a whole nother campaign for Frozen that we're never going to get?
Nope.
What?
Yeah,
Why would they throw money away? We never got it. Because, here's the thing, isn't that
it,
all
it
that content on
disc?
Disc? Oh,
it didn't fit in the...
Didn't fit in the disc, and people are too stupid to figure out how DLC works.
Yeah.
Oh my god, kids game.
Mm-hmm.
Kids game, kids game, kids game. But wait, why did it fit on Europe's disc?
Because they had to remove some content in the toy box to make that fit.
So everything's kind of stupid, huh?
Yeah, the way that they built... It seems like when they built the first one, it was kind of haphazard and kind of just, you know, like taped together, like with duct tape or what have you. So... And when I heard the news about that, I was like, what? We're not... Their version of the game is completely different than ours? So I guess to compensate for the lack of toy box items, I guess there's like, you know, 100 or so items missing and stuff. Like, they get the Frozen toy box set, which is dumb. But yeah, DLC. I guess people don't know how to do it. No word yet whether or not Disney Infinity 2 is actually going to have a better community system. You know, because that was the one thing lacking about Disney Infinity 1 is that they didn't have a good community system working or online, like real online gameplay. So, but we'll see. And there's already talk that, you know, they've seen other Disney characters show up in the trailer that are playable, like Maleficent and, you know, Stitch and whatnot. So they're obviously hiding a lot more details in the game. But definitely, I am pretty sure Maleficent is going to be in it because, hey, movie coming out. Tie-in. No-brainer. So.
God, everything's a tie-in. Everything is everything, and it's dumb, and I hate everything.
You hate the world? Do you?
It's just dumb. I'm mad at everything.
Okay.
Mad.
Yeah. So, okay. Next one. Blu-ray is almost dead. Or is dying.
Why is this even in this on this list?
Because it's pretty... Because if you consider this... PCs are still using DVDs for their installation if they're still fucking, you know, like, you know, hard DVDs that are still being printed for games, which I'm pretty sure they are. But yet the consoles are using Blu-ray. So the only reason why we're going to even probably see Blu-ray within the next generation or so, within the next generation, is because we're using it to store a lot of data on physical discs for our games. That's it. After this generation, I don't know what's going to happen. If a high definition format is pretty much going away, I wonder what's going to happen with physical media moving forward.
I think I've heard this so many times, and this is what makes me mad. I'm so sick of hearing physical media is going away. It's such a crock of shit. It's not going away. We still have fucking CDs, for God's sake. We still have DVDs. They haven't gone away. Are they as popular? Do they sell as much? No, but they're not going away.
Ted, do you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, I do have an opinion. Okay. Oh, do you want me to say my opinion?
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I just basically,
you know,
like,
a roundtable show, you know, kind of need to talk.
Well, it's like, okay, I'm listening to that as like, I have seen the CD section at Target shrink and shrink and shrink, and it's going to shrink more. Are they going away? No. But it's like records. Records didn't really go away. They just went to specialty shops.
Mm-hmm.
Specialty shops. It's like farm trucks. It used to be that everything in America was a farm truck. And then as we got away from an agrarian society, we had to have other kinds of cards, but we still had farm trucks. What I'm saying is physical media will never go away. They will still sell it for crazy people.
For crazy people.
No. Here's the problem. And this is the thing. Like, when you're talking about CDs and records and stuff, the file sizes, and that people always use this for like for their defense on digital with iTunes and stuff. The file sizes are so minuscule that they don't take up, even uncompressed audio isn't that big for a music CD. It's bigger, much bigger than an MP3. But it's not that big, and people will settle for the lower quality sound. But with video games and movies, especially with now 4K movies, do you think that those people are going to download that shit over the internet with the ISP? They'll do it, and the ISP providers will start wringing their hands and cashing those checks because they're going to start lowering those caps and raising those prices. And
you just made a really You just made a really good point that I forgot. The ISPs in the United States of America blow big, floppy, donkey dick.
And they're not going to get better. They're never going to be our friends. Ever.
And until that happens, God, I want, you know, my argument, I believe in my argument except for that. And that's a very big part of the puzzle, that if there's these caps, if you have a 250 gigabyte cap with Comcast, you can download 5 PS4 games on your PS4 and then turn off your modem for a month.
Yeah, that means no streaming at all, which there goes, you know, Netflix and Hulu and all the things that are becoming more and more popular as the years go on. And the more people cut the cord, the more they're going to want that money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to start and okay, just a case in point. Fucking Wolfenstein is 47 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost filled up an entire Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And we're not even a year into the generation. No. You're going to download that? You're going to start, when the games start coming out more frequently around November, remember those times like when you're like, oh shit, there's like two games a week.
Mm-hmm.
When that starts happening, like, you're not going to see this boom in digital that everybody thinks you're going to, because they're going to tighten that vice grip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to change things. And that's the thing that people don't understand. It's not going to be this utopia where they're like, the floodgates are open, go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to do that. They're not going to do that. The guy, the head of Time Warner said, point blank, we don't see the need to give faster internet because our customers don't want it. They're until we all, and this will never happen because there's so many people who are content as long as Netflix streams to their TV. Mm-hmm. They don't care.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The people that care about that stuff are technophiles and stuff like that, and like people on, and we're kind of the fringe. Like, it's the unfortunately the average consumer controls everything. Yeah. They control our movies we watch. They control the music we listen to. They control, I'm talking mainstream-wise.
Yeah.
They talk, you know, they control the TV shows. How many good TV shows have completely died because they're just too niche or something? You know, mm-hmm. It's just, this is the problem. And they're the people that don't care
mm-hmm.
about having Google Fiber.
Yeah.
We live in interesting times, and I do think that within our lifetimes, some really crazy stuff is going to happen to media before I think it'll stabilize and we reach a new normal. But since we don't have a normal right now, a lot of the things I like to watch is like bullshit on Twitch TV, which is very non-mainstream. We're just going to have to ride it out, and it's not going to be comfortable all the time. So, and I don't know what else to tell you.
So I have a question, then. How many DVDs will Wolfenstein actually, you know, ship for the
four
PC?
On Xbox 360. On Xbox 360.
Okay, that's four on 360.
I don't know if you've been to a Best Buy lately or whatever, but if you look at the Xbox 360 section, there are more and more games that actually have the icon hard drive required on them. And Wolfenstein, by definition, is going to be one, since one of those discs is a mandatory install.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like positing.
8 gigs.
Yeah. So that's
an 8 gig install.
I'm like doing a math in my head. That's like 36 gig. Yeah,
it is also. There's also an 8 gig install on PS3. Mm. Although I think there's only one disc there.
Yeah.
Even so, I mean that's a big mandatory install on last gen. Yeah. Where I'm used to 2 and 3 gig installs. In fact, I remember when Metal Gear Solid 4, they actually have a mandatory installs that change based on what act you're in, and they're like 2 gigs, and like combined it's like 10 gigs, and people would be screaming back then because, you know, 60 gig hard drive.
Yeah.
Nowadays, not so much.
Yeah. One of the main reasons why I actually had this Blu-ray is dying conversation is because I actually...
Well, it turned into a really good conversation.
Oh, yeah. I figured... Well, thank you. That's why it's there. But I actually got into a conversation with a close friend of mine, and he basically proclaimed that, yeah, everything is just going to be digital. I'm like, you are naive if you really think that the cable companies are just going to let us trounce all over them and use all of their bandwidth. And they're like... And he was all like, they'll figure it out. And I'm like, yeah, they'll figure out how to screw us. That's exactly what they're going to do.
This is the thing. Like, this is the thing that pisses me off about all these people. They are not our friends. They don't like us.
They're a business.
They don't like us. They don't care about us. Mm-hmm. They don't, like, they don't give a shit. Like, okay, DirecTV and Dish Network didn't even carry the WWE's Sunday pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Wow, because they got pissed at the WWE Network, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't care about their customers. They're pissed that that exists. And they're
isn't it the case that if they carried those pay-per-views, they would still make free money?
Yeah.
Because of the carriage fees? And so they decided not to carry the pay-per-views because they're whiny. I mean, that whiny little children. That doesn't make any sense.
Nope. As a business, it doesn't make sense.
Because they feel like they're trying to send a message that's saying, well, that's not revenue. That's revenue you're not getting either for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is dumb.
To the WWE.
Yeah. Anyways, along the same lines of Wolfenstein, so Wolfenstein's going to be geo-locked on PC, Ted? This is kind of nuts. The uncensored version, I guess. It's like what they do to South Park.
I would be more surprised if it wasn't the case that there are now several titles on Steam that are geo-locked as a result of a recent update. So,
is this a common occurrence on Steam?
Not that common, but I know there's a geo-locked version of South Park.
Well, yeah, we know that.
There's several other geo-locked games, and I used to care about this for... I cared about this for, like, 3 hours.
Well, just to me, it's kind of interesting that this is now news. it's like after South Park did it. It's like, oh, by the way, Wolfenstein is censored in Germany. I'm like, no shit, it will be. So,
I remember when they resubmitted Doom for classification in Germany recently, and it got approved, and they said, you know, we didn't actually expect this to happen. We just did it for the hell of it. Now we have to come up with like a release strategy. We're surprised. we're as surprised as you are.
Yep. It has no Hitler and it has no swastika, so we're good. Anyways, I know we've been talking a lot about like people leaving Naughty Dog. This next one is kind of surprising to me, I guess, in a way. The animation creator, the director of Assassin's Creed 3, actually got hired at Naughty Dog recently. So, yay!
Oh no, what's going on at Ubisoft? They must be falling apart!
I know, right? Oh no, Montreal is doomed! No, it's
there
just...
must be something going on with the next Assassin's Creed game!
They're still mad about Bret Hart.
Bret Hart?
Montreal Screwjob.
Although I gotta say, as much as I like Assassin's Creed, the animations aren't all that great.
Yeah.
They're not.
It's like, ooh. Like,
not compared to Naughty Dog.
That's definitely true.
Well, I guess the climbing animation for Drake is going to be tweened better. Oh, man. At the very least.
There's something else he worked on that I was like, oh, that's not that great either.
Ooh, yeah. If you can find that, let me know. Anyways, moving on to our final discussion for the evening. Titanfall sold 925,000 copies in March, but it's only in the U.S. It doesn't include digital or bundles.
Well, I can tell you when I play Titanfall, I always get a game, and it's full of people. So,
I mean, that's okay. Let's. I know this is exactly why I feel like EA did not release these numbers. Because as soon as those numbers came out, if you look on NeoGAF, they're like, that's not that good. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's almost a million physical copies in 3 weeks for a brand new IP in the U.S.
That
alone?
That 925,000 doesn't include digital copies?
No, that's the NPD results.
NPD results are fucking useless.
They're not. That's the physical one.
Okay.
They don't include digital.
I bought digital.
I know. I bought the bundle, and that's not included in there either. So if you think about it, that 925,000 copies—that's physical hard copies that someone went to the store they bought. That's not including digital. That's not including the bundles. And I think it was like 7 out of 10 bundles were like Xbox were Titanfall bundles. I think the number was, and like, so you can probably do some math. I suck at math, so I'm not going to do it. But they sold about 300. They sold just under like 300 something. Like, I forget what the numbers are because it was at so much earlier in the month of April, but that's a lot for a new IP.
Mm-hmm. So successful.
And that's not even including the 360 version,
which just got released last month.
Yeah, so that those numbers aren't even in. Mm-hmm. Like, that's huge for a new IP.
Mm-hmm. And I really feel like EA should really ride on, like, you know, like displaying how popular and how, you know, how widespread, like, the popularity of, like, Titanfall is, because this is a new IP. This is something that has legs, and has proven with the sales that it's got legs, you know? And this could encourage a lot more sales of, you know, either the 360 version, the PC version, and, you know, the Xbox One version. So, more power to
them. And they said they're looking forward to partnering with Respawn to bring new Titanfall experiences.
Yep.
Quote.
So, I know it's not on here, but what is the upcoming DLC for Titanfall? Do you guys know?
There's new maps. Month. Yeah, it's Titanfall Crazy Jungle Land. I don't know the real name.
Expedition.
I think it's worth mentioning that in addition to new multiplayer maps, there is new campaign. There's some new campaign stuff.
Huh.
So, there's some new campaign stuff.
Three new multiplayer maps. I didn't know about the campaign stuff. A couple of game modes, and that's it. And then all the other stuff's kind of. I think the new game modes are free, though. I don't think that's going to be part of the.
You never know.
DLC is primarily like the campaign and multiplayer maps.
I remember when I picked up Titanfall from GameStop, and they said, "Do you want the season pass?" I said, "No." I was like, "Really? You don't want the season pass?" And I said, "Do you even know what's in the season pass yet?" It's not like the season pass goes away, you know, except one thing I found out is The Last of Us no longer offers a season pass because all the DLC has now come out. So if you didn't buy it early with the season pass, you can no longer buy it in a bundle as the season pass.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Atari, I'm just going to get the definitive.
Yeah, I actually sold my copy of Last of Us, and I'm going to wait a month to play it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, GameStop's giving you 50% on your trade-ins right now, yeah. So I think I might go trade it in.
Huh.
I traded in 10 games last week because of I rebought all of my stuff as digital.
Wow.
And I made out like a bandit. I paid off 2 pre-orders in full, and then I had so much left over, I ended up buying Final Fantasy X on Vita because I just couldn't think of what else to buy. So I bought that.
Nice. Oh, that's something like, well, I know we only have a few minutes, but the Vita came out today.
Yeah, Borderlands Vita. 2. The Borderlands the 2 is now out on Vita. The Slim's out. A couple stats. Borderlands 2 is a digital download, and all of the content combined takes up 5 gigs.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a whole 8-gig card that they give you.
They do give you an 8-gig card, and this is the first Vita with onboard memory. which means that if you don't have a memory card, you can use the 1 gigabyte of onboard storage. However, you cannot combine them.
Yeah.
If you want to use the 1 gig of onboard storage, you have to turn the memory card off.
Ah.
However, battery life is better. The buttons are actually better. It's lighter. And the screen is worse, but I guess you can't tell if you're not looking at them side by side.
Yeah, that's something that I read on Kotaku as well. And it's worth noting that the rear touchpad is a little bit smaller.
Thank God. It needs to be smaller.
Mm-hmm. And the grips on the back are a little bit bigger. Oh, thank goodness.
Well, I'm not upgrading to the Slim Vita, though.
Nope. Oh, no, you're not.
Yeah, I know I'm supposed to buy everything that comes out, but I have no intentions anytime in the future of upgrading to the Slim Vita.
Yeah.
Until next week when he tweets us a picture. Hey, guys!
Nope. I can honestly tell you, not going to happen at the moment.
At the moment.
Why? If the Vita explodes, I'll have to get a new Vita.
If your Vita explodes, it'll take your memory card with it.
I want to know why it is that the Vita, the new Vita, is the one thing in this world that you don't feel is necessary to buy.
Again.
Okay, again. Are you ready for the irony, Sean?
Absolutely.
All of the accessories I have for the Vita only work with the current size Vita. My grips, my extra chargers. Now,
but how about that second like analog stick attachment to the regular 3DS? And then you upgraded to the 3DS XL.
I got the new attached. They offer the CirclePad Pro XL through Nintendo.com, so I got that.
But you said the reason why you're not buying the next Vita is because you already have all these accessories for the Vita, and yet you had a 3DS, and then you bought a new 3DS, and you bought an accessory.
Yo, I've got way more accessories. Also, I gave up a few things, although I ended up getting the charging cradle for the XL because of a Club Nintendo, which reminds me I need to fill out a Club Nintendo survey right now because it's going to expire like really soon.
Oh, I don't even vouch for those anymore. So,
I have gotten tons of free stuff. I mean, you know, it's good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was good. A lot of news this week. Crazy.
I didn't buy a Vita.
Yeah, you're not.
Is anyone going to get Mario Kart?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a Wii.
I'm sure Sean is going to buy a Mario Kart.
Neither one of us have Wii U's anymore.
Right. You sold yours.
I never did, but apparently that makes me a douchebag.
Not really. Oh, are you talking about that, the comment thread? You know, yes. I was just busting your balls.
That meant.
Okay, what it means is, imagine, you know what, it has to do with being in college and beer.
Gotcha.
No, dude. All right.
That was funny.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. That was sarcasm.
Yes, it was sarcasm. So, all right, guys. Well, that about does it for this episode of the After Hours Podcast. Be sure to email us at afterhourspodcast@gamehorizon.com if you have any questions, concerns, comments about any of the news articles or games that we talked about this week. So,
let's plug the Twitch channel. Start checking out twitch.tv/gamerhorizon. I'm testing some streams up there, getting my environment all ready. If you catch me while I'm broadcasting, feel free to say hi. Ask if you can hear me well, because working on the audio levels. And I'll be streaming things that I find interesting.
Oh, also, plug your new wrestling podcast, guys. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have a name for that yet?
I think it's just going to be Ted and Sean's Wrestling Podcast.
okay.
And, we recorded the first inaugural episode. It was okay. It was, you know, we're still trying to feel out the format and stuff like that. We just basically reviewed the pay-per-view and talked about some things. That will have already been posted, so you can go back and find that. We're going to start, you're going to find that once a month after every pay-per-view. The next pay-per-view is on my birthday, June 1st. So that should be very interesting. I might be drunk.
Hopefully
better than the last pay-per-view.
Yes.
Well, you don't want to, you know, let them go back and listen to it.
Yep.
You're going to need to get drunk, you know, at this rate.
All right, so that kind of chemistry is what you guys can expect with the new wrestling podcast. Whatever the hell is going to be, it's going to come out pretty damn soon. And, of course, you know, I co-host the Social Link podcast with Anthony. Great podcast, lots of ranting and bullshitting and all that stuff about video games, comics, and whatnot. So, again, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Xbox on.